I know I feel better overall when I get outside and I get active. But when I don't have the right gear, especially when the weather is unpredictable this spring, it's harder to live that life that I really want. And that's why I'm sort of obsessed now with my Vessi shoes. I have two pairs, and I'm literally wearing at least one of them every day because Vessis are so comfortable, they're easy to get on and off when I'm on the go, and they are super stylish. I love how they look. Plus, get this, they're also 100% waterproof. And I really turn to my Stormburst high tops when I'm ready for a bit more adventuring out and about. They are so versatile, though. I can wear them for everyday errands and getting things done, or taking them into the elements, from beach days to walking around the city to a rainy day hike. Elevate your spring wardrobe with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. Discover more at vessi.com/newsworthy. Get your pair today to get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout and be ready to step out in style, rain or shine. Trust me, you will not regret this. Go to vessi.com/newsworthy to get your new favorite shoes with an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout.
Today is Saturday, April 10th, and we're talking about the NFT frenzy. NFTs are non-fungible tokens, and it seems they've become the hottest thing in the crypto world lately. Some NFTs have been auctioned off for millions of dollars, like Twitter co-founder Jack Dorsey's first ever tweet that sold for $2.9 million, or a piece of digital artwork that sold for a record $69 million. And we're seeing mainstream companies, organizations, and celebrities getting in on the action. From the NBA's NFT version of trading cards to actor Ashton Kutcher's venture fund hosting a pitching contest for NFT-related startups with judges like Snoop Dogg and Mark Cuban. So what are NFTs? How are they used? And are they just a fad or do they have a real future? We're getting answers today from one of the top voices in crypto. His name is Nathaniel Whittemore, but he's better known as NLW. He's an independent strategy and communications consultant for leading crypto companies and the host of The Breakdown, the fastest growing podcast in crypto. So here's our conversation about NFTs. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, when we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. It's fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. It's time for today's Special Edition Saturday. You ready? Let's do this. Nathaniel, thanks so much for joining me here on The Newsworthy.
Hey, it's great to be here.
So I want to start with just the basics. How do you like to explain what NFTs are?
I think people get caught up when they try to explain them from a technical perspective first. They're digital collectibles, right? Like that's what has got people excited. And the thing about them that's the important differentiator is that they introduce the idea of scarcity or rarity to a digital asset, which has been previously assumed to be highly copyable. And it's not so much that they're not copyable, right? If you have a visual version of an NFT, right, some digital piece of art, it's not that people can't copy it. It's that there is now provenance, authentication associated with it. And for a collector, the idea that there is provenance, that they have the authentic first version, right, that they are the person who has the thing or one of a limited number of things, is a thing that matters. And as long as they feel that it matters and a market around them feels that it matters, then digital scarcity becomes a real thing. And what you're seeing, and I think what some people have had a hard time grokking, is that it turns out there is a pretty large and growing number of people who buy into the idea of digital scarcity and provenance and collectorship online. And I think really importantly, you know, it would be one thing if this was just strictly a crypto kid phenomenon, right? There's a version of NFT kind of growth that would be just kind of insider baseball, right? And you've seen some of that certainly with a lot of the NFTs running around. But the reality is the biggest application in the space is NBA Top Shot. And the vast majority of people who are interacting with that application don't have any idea what an NFT is, although maybe they've heard of it since the SNL skit, right? But like really, it's something that lives in the background. What they know and what they buy into is that it's this really cool digital artifact that, according to a brand that they trust, the NBA, has scarcity, replicability, and frankly, that gets validated in the market and they see the worth of these things go up and up and up. So it's a pretty interesting phenomenon that's a little bit harder to write off or dismiss, I think, than some would have it.
And for people who aren't paying close attention to what's happening with NFTs, it does kind of seem like they came out of nowhere and are suddenly everywhere. We're hearing about them so much now.
What's the origination story behind NFTs, or at least a brief version of it? And why are they now getting all of this attention?
Yeah, so I guess the key thing, without getting too technical, the F is really the key word in NFT that matters, and it means fungible. Fungibility refers to the idea of something being substitutable for something else. So all US dollars are fungible for other US dollars, right? There's no difference between $1 bill that I have and $1 bill that you have. We could exchange them and have exactly the same thing. The same is true for most cryptocurrencies, right? Bitcoin is fungible with any other Bitcoin. When you are asking for Bitcoin for a sale or a trade or a transaction, it doesn't matter which Bitcoin, it's just Bitcoin. The idea of a non-fungible token is a token that uses a blockchain to specifically refer to a unique digital authenticator or digital asset versus something that is like every other asset. So that's where that idea of uniqueness comes from. People have been playing around with that concept and what it means for a long time. If you'll remember, in the last big boom cycle, 2017, one of the things that exploded and kind of the only thing to really go even a little mainstream was CryptoKitties, right? And CryptoKitties was these sort of digital collectible kitties that had their own rarities, that had sparked a whole marketplace around them, that had other companies and projects pop up to do new different things around them. You could make hats for your CryptoKitties, and it was all kind of very internet-y and very meme-y. And that one was primarily people who are already in the cryptocurrency industry playing. But what it did is it got a lot of people thinking about the possibilities here and thinking about it in the context of in-game items, right? What if you could actually own the assets for your video game and then sell them on a secondary market? All these things are theoretically possible with NFTs. And the question was just sort of whether anyone would actually care, because it takes not just the ability for a blockchain to say this has a specific uniqueness or rarity, but also for people to accept it. It's a social consensus as well as a technology consensus. And what's really interesting to me in terms of how this grew up is people were working on NFTs for the entire span, the entire bear market that followed the 2017-2018 highs. People were working on exactly these types of things. Many of the artists that you see now, Justin Blau, RAC, they were dabbling in this space 2 years ago, 3 years ago. So it was a long time building. I do think that the introduction of NBA Top Shot was the real big catalyst in this case, at least on some level. And I think what made that such a profound catalyst, as I kind of mentioned, is that it abstracted away, it obfuscated the NFT-ness of it, the crypto-ness of it. In fact, I was having a conversation with their CEO, and he said that when they message anything that relates to NFTs or crypto, their conversion actually goes down. It's just not what people care about. What people care about is the thing itself. In this case, the really cool new digital version of a trading card, you know, which is these Top Shots. We also had this other catalyst, I think, the dearth of a viable business model for musicians in a pandemic era world, right? All of these artists who had already kind of accepted that recordings weren't going to be their revenue stream anymore, lost their main substitute, which is touring, which is live shows. And it's not super surprising to me that that was sort of the cauldron that forged a whole lot of new experiments with these types of digital collectibles that combine art and music specifically. So I think that there's a lot percolating for a long time with a couple highly contextual catalysts that really kind of sparked this into the mainstream where it's become.
Still ahead, we talk about the arguments for and against NFTs and whether it's a fading fad or a growing industry with a real future. But first, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Lightstream. If you're interested in paying less interest on your credit card balances, Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.95% APR with autopay and excellent credit. So that's lower than the average credit card interest rate. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience. In fact, many lenders have application or processing fees, but with Lightstream, there are simply no fees. So if you're interested in learning more about this, you can go to lightstream.com/newsworthy to see a rate table and a quick calculator, even before you're asked to put in any personal information. Plus, just for the Newsworthy listeners, you can apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get the discount is to go to lightstream.com/newsworthy, L-I-G-H-T-S-T-R-E-A-M, lightstream.com/newsworthy.
It is subject to credit approval. Rates range from 5.95% APR to 19.99% APR and include 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/newsworthy for more information. This episode is also brought to you by Native. Self-care is a two-way street. There's you and there's the products you use. And that's why you deserve a brand that puts the same care into their products that you put into yourself, like Native. I love that Native deodorant's ingredients list is simple and you can pronounce everything on it. Plus, they have options. Native has a line of sensitive deodorants for people with baking soda sensitivities. They have plastic-free deodorants if you're trying to cut down on your plastic consumption. And there's even an unscented option if you're all about your natural scent. I personally love a bunch of their scents, including some of my go-tos, coconut and vanilla and lavender and rose. But there's always something new to try with rotating seasonal scents. Plus, Native is risk-free to try. Every product comes with free shipping within the U.S., plus free 30-day returns and exchanges. So make the switch to Native today by going to nativedeo.com/newsworthy or using the promo code newsworthy at checkout. And you can get 20% off your first order. That's nativedeo.com/newsworthy or use the promo code newsworthy at checkout for 20% off your first order. Okay, now here's the rest of my conversation with NLW. Supporters say that NFTs make it easier for digital creators to make money. Can you explain if there are any other main arguments for NFTs that would make them worth as much money as we're seeing some of them go for?
I think that this is all just markets and the market makeover of everything. And so what I mean by that is that let's take a scenario 3 years ago, 5 years ago, where you really love a musician, right? Like I'm talking, you love a musician. You're one of their biggest fans in the world. How would you express how big a fan you were? And I especially mean that in the context of if you had money, what could you spend money on? There's not really that many options, right? I mean, you could buy tickets to every show. If they had some super premium VIP package, you could do that. Maybe if you had extraordinary wealth, you could try to get in touch with their management to do something unique or hire them for a private gig. Or you get what I'm saying. There's very little you can do other than the normal stuff that everyone else can do. Buy their music, buy their tickets. I think what you're seeing now with NFTs with musicians is not so much just about sort of creators being paid better in general, although that's a part of it. I think what you're seeing is a segment of the market that didn't have an outlet before, which is an extreme fan who has resources and who wants to spend their disposable resources on a unique thing that they think other super fans will like and that makes them feel good. That's never been available before.
Some people say NFTs can be copied, that they're sort of meaningless, maybe even bad for the environment. What are some of the main arguments against NFTs? And do you think any of them are legitimate?
I would say that the critique that is most glaring, right, and blaring is the eye-popping prices of some of these things. Anytime anything that has a resemblance to or a passing connection with cryptocurrency has a market moment, you're going to see an influx of people who are trying to get rich off it because it just happened so many times before, right? Where you just pump money in and you do anything you want and you know, magically money comes out of it. And I think you can see that in terms of, I mean, just there's a lot of crap out there, right? In terms of what's being minted and what NFTs are, and some of it's opportunistic, you know? And I think in general, if you're looking to invest in this as an asset class, as always, like the top or on the way to the top isn't necessarily the best idea. Again, it would be one thing for me if there was no NBA Top Shot, but the reality is that those kids who are trading NBA Top Shots, like they like them. And they like them not because they're cool new things and because they're crypto. They like them for what they are. And they want to open those packs and get them and they want to trade them with their friends and they want to show them off on their phones. And that to me is a market signal that it's real. So I think it's a little bit, like I said, it's just harder to dismiss than another kind of crypto hype cycle phenomenon might be. Although, as I said, I do think that there is a whole big old dose of that happening too.
Where do NFTs go from here?
Prices are already way off the top, right? The average NFT at the end of February was $4,000. It's like $1,250 now. The volume in the middle of February was 194 million or something like that. It's 32 million this last week. So the top has already been blown off. There could be another top. I'm not sure. It's hard for me to imagine how every sports league doesn't copy NBA Top Shot. and do some version of it and see where it sits. It's very hard for me to imagine that this doesn't become a part of the artist's toolkit musician's toolkit specifically. Now, I don't necessarily think that you're going to be able to be Grimes and randomly sell $6 million of them or $6 million worth of them in a couple minutes, you know, or Justin Blau and sell 11 million of them in a couple minutes. Like, it may be very, very different, but I don't think that mitigates it, right? If you're an artist who could mint and sell $100,000 of these over the course, you know, once every 6 months or a year, there's a lot of working musicians for whom that would be approximate to, you know, touring without the absolute sort of incredible stress on psyche and body and everything else that touring represents. So I'm really interested in that being a power realigning phenomenon in music. When it comes to digital art, I mean, I think it's very funny when people get like all up in arms about what is and isn't art. All that matters is what some people think it is and how much they're willing to pay. And I think that it feels kind of clear to me that digital artists are enjoying this as a medium and they're wanting to spend time and space there, not just in the pursuit of money, although that's certainly a part of it, but because it's a really interesting medium. It's a really interesting medium to explore. It's a new canvas. And all of a sudden that canvas has a market around it, and that's a powerful thing. So I think that probably how it all shakes out is more and more kind of fragmentation, balkanization. I would be very surprised if in a couple of years we talk about NFTs as a single category versus different types of digital collectibles and subcategories and things like that. My general approach to all of this is just, you know, is curiosity and exploration, and there's so much to explore.
And thanks to NLW for his insights today. If this sort of thing interests you, be sure to check out his podcast, The Breakdown. Thanks again for tuning into this episode, and be sure to join me again for our regular episodes, providing all the day's news in just about 10 minutes every Monday through Friday. So we'll be back Monday with your next news roundup. Until then, have a great weekend.